Welcome to New Shooter Canada. Please remember that the show's content and word pronunciation is simply the opinion of the hosts and their guests.
Well, all I've got is my life being free. Because I'm armed, you can't take that from me, and you should know it.
Hey everybody, welcome to episode 180 of New Shooter Canada. Tonight we have Benny and we have Mike. How you doing, guys?
Good.
Oh, and I'm Thomas, in case I forgot to tell you. So it's a holiday weekend. Everybody's got the kids around, so there might be a little background noise, but that's okay. That's what holiday weekends it's for. It's for family. So Benny, what did you do in Guns this week?
Well, it's been a while since I've been on. All I've been doing really is deep priming my brass, cleaning it. Whether I'm going to reload it or not. I've just finished my last batch of 223. I just have to get rid of all the pins and then, it'll be ready for packaging. I did pick up a new handy primer from Select Shoe Supplies. Dean was really nice. From Franklin Armory. It's, one really, really nice thing about it is that instead of having used primers all over the house, I can now keep them a little more contained. So, that's good. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Did you actually go into Select Shooting Supplies?
Yes, yes. I popped in there, said hi to Dean, and picked up the handy primer. So it's the first time I was in there. It's a small shop, as most gun shops are. It was nice seeing another gun shop in the area.
You know, I've run into Dean probably half a dozen times. I've been to his events. I've been to the his dealer thing. I ran into him at SHOT Show. I know Dean and Tracy, but I've never actually been to the shop. So that's one on my to-do list.
Yeah, it's a nice place.
What about you, Mike? What you doing guns this week? It looks like you've got a nice little list in there. Now, Mike has spotty internet connection, so he might be jumping in and out. No Mike. So I guess I'll do what I did with guns. So a couple of weeks ago, I mentioned that I applied. Actually, a couple of months ago, I mentioned that I applied for a part-time job at East Hill Outdoors, and I didn't hear anything back. So I assumed that I didn't get it. And surprisingly enough, a couple of weeks ago, I got a phone call from the owner of East Hill Outdoors, offering me a part-time job working at the range, which is exciting because I plan on retiring from the TTC. I made the appointment. Gonna go and sign the papers next month. So right now I'm just going in doing some training on what would be my normal off days just to get used to their way of doing things. Every range is different. So I went in the last couple Saturdays and they do the group bookings. And we had a bachelorette party one weekend and it was fantastic. The girls had a blast. Even one of the girls let off a 50 A&E and then she did a 50 BMG. And if you've never fired a 50 BMG indoors, it's a bone rattling kaboom. And then the following week, I guess they came home, they tell the fiancés and the boyfriends what a great time they had. And the next week, all the guys came up and they had their bachelor party doing the exact same thing, except quite a few of the guys shot off the 50 BMG. So my bones rattled for most of the day, but that was a lot of fun. So if you want to, you know, if you've never gone shooting and you don't know anybody who actually that can take you, in Southern Ontario, you can contact East Hill Outdoors, or if you're out in the West Coast, you can contact DVC Range. They both offer walk-in packages. It's better to actually call it or book it online. But if you want to do group booking, go have some fun for birthday party, bachelorette party, that both ranges offer a similar thing. They even had an archery birthday party for little kids, which was really fun to see. They've got axe throwing. So it was really, really great. And it was funny, my first day in there, on the Saturday, I ran into my friend Grant, and then I ran into Chris Anderson. And if people don't know Chris, he's no longer podcasting or no longer has his blog, but you can listen to him in episode 300 of Slamfire Radio. I miss hearing Chris Anderson Presents interviews on CRR. He was actually my very first and favorite Canadian podcaster is Chris Anderson. So at least we get to hear him occasionally on Slamfire. Every 100 episodes, Christmas, special holidays and stuff. What else do they do? Oh, I had the strangest thing happen. Actually, not strange. It's extremely unusual. Remember I was telling you I had that I had to send back my Buck Vantage for warranty repair. And I decided, well, they're going to give me a credit. And I figured, well, why don't you just send me another knife? So I picked out the little 722 Spitfire Boy Scout knife because I knew it would make a current import laws. I shouldn't have any problem getting it through the border. So I'm tracking it, and it says it gets held in customs in Richmond, B.C. I figure, okay, it may take a week or two. Like a month and a half, almost 2 months later, there's still no knife. So I actually emailed Canadian Border Services, and I complained about it. I said, you know, the knife perfectly complies. That was the whole reason I asked for that knife. And an extremely unusual thing happened. I actually got a phone call from Border Services. They apologized for my knife being held, saying it was inadvertently mixed in with the prohibited knives. And then it came within 2 days, which is really unheard of. Like, if your knife gets seized, you'll get a letter, usually in a month or two, saying that knife has been seized, and you're not going to get it back. You might be able to make arrangements to have it sent back to where it came from, but that's going to cost you. But I've never heard of the Border Services calling and apologizing for accidentally putting your knife with the knives that were prohibited. So that was very unusual. Actually, I shared that on one of the knife forums, and everybody thought it was very bizarre because they've never heard of anything like that. So I got the buck knife finally. So that was cool. And what about you, Mike? What have you done in guns with this week?
Well, I'll say since the last episode, I've been busy. I've ran and shot an IDPA match. I ran and shot an I-Corps match where I actually shot an open division. I borrowed Sarah's 929, which is so much fun to do. Shooting an 8-shot revolver is a lot easier. I wouldn't say easier, but less stressful than shooting a 6-shot revolver, because most stages are designed around 6 shots. So if you have 8 shots, then you have 2 makeups just in case, right? You never know what could happen in a stage. You get a bad primer or something like that. So it's nice to have that insurance of 2 extra rounds. And, you know, you mix that with having a red dot, say, oh, it's such a nice gun to shoot. It's real good. And then I shot actually an I-Corps match in limited 6. So that's a 6-shot revolver, but using moon clips. The match went well. I had some issues with the revolver itself, but, it was good to know, because I've been looking at changing divisions either for next year or sometime this year. It depends on when I get enough money to afford new revolvers. So it gave me the insight that I definitely want to go with an 8-shot revolver. I'll probably go with limited, so no red dot, but I feel like it's cheating for a younger person to use a red dot.
So you're saying only old people have to use red dots?
I'm not saying only old people. I'll say that old people have to use red dots because their eyesight is so bad. So exactly. So I feel bad as a young person who has good eyesight using a red dot. I feel like it's just cheating. Not really, but you know what I mean? So I figure I'll stick with the iron sights as long as I can. And when my eyesight does go, then I'll switch over to open. But speaking of that, have you guys seen the new Ruger Super GP 100?
Yes.
Oh, man.
It looks nice.
Am I thinking of the right gun?
Pardon me?
Is it two-toned? Am I thinking of the right gun?
No, I wouldn't call it two-toned. I mean, I think there is like a little bit of what I'll call like a stainless steel accent to it, but I wouldn't call it a two-tone gun. But it's an 8-shot, 357, 5.5-inch barrel. This gun was made for competition. I think the MSRP on it is something like roughly $1,500 American. So, oh boy, we'll see when.
I've seen pictures of it. I haven't actually had one in my hand.
No, they only like just released it, I'll say within a month. So I don't think anyone has actually gotten their hand on it yet. Like, I don't think it's actually made it to stores yet. So I'm hoping when I go down to IRC, for the last few years, Ruger has been sponsoring the IRC International Revolver Championship. So I'm hoping that if they're there again, then they'll bring one as a display piece. So we'll see. That could end up being my next gun.
Ruger has this great policy, because usually when they announce something, it's usually at the distributors already.
Oh, really?
So it's they don't usually announce something until all the distributors have it. And then they do a mass announce. So if it just got released in the States, you might see it in probably 2 or 3 months up here, because they do their American distributors first.
Oh, yeah. Well, I didn't know if the American distributors had it yet, because I think they announced it at the NRA show. So I don't know if they would try and keep it a little more hush-hush and not even let their distributors know yet. I don't know. It's hard to say.
Now, I have a question about your using Sarah's 929. Yes. So you do the stage, you fire off your six shots. You can't dump those extra two shots. So you get penalized because you have a magazine basically and you're dropping rounds.
That's only an IDPA. An I-Cor, you're allowed to dump round. It's like IPSC. You can dump magazines put round in them, or speed loaders in this case.
See, I didn't realize. I figured it was as same as regular IDPA matches. You can't drop a mag with rounds in it.
Nope, you can drop them. So, like I said, if it's a six-shot friendly stage where you're shooting six shots and moving, you know, I have two extra rounds in case something goes bad. Or if I call a shot as bad, I can just take an extra shot. So you have that level of insurance there before you move on. And you're still able just to drop the two rounds if you don't need them when you move to your next position.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent. Because I thought maybe you'd have to fire them off or put them in your pocket when you dumped it. So if you don't have to, it's great having those two extra shots and not being penalized.
Yeah. I actually have video of me shooting the open gun on Instagram. Don't ask me what my handle is because I don't even know.
I'm not even on Instagram.
Yeah.
Let me look that up for you, Mike.
Okay.
Oh, Benny's running out of power. Benny's running out of power.
No, we're good.
So I guess I'll put it in now. I've been trying to get a hold and line up an interview with Greg from Pink Pistols. So there are a lot of Pride events happening. So right now we have an interview with Greg from Pink Pistols. Enjoy. Hi, everybody. So tonight we have Greg Allard with us. Greg is the founding member of the Pink Pistols Chapters of Toronto. How you doing tonight, Greg?
Doing pretty good. Good to be here.
Glad to have you on the show. Greg and I have been in contact a couple times. We've gone shooting. I've gotten to know Greg a little bit. And we're really interested in getting he's really interested in getting a Pink Pistol chapter going in Toronto. He's working on that. Plus, he's working on a GTA chapter or GTA Durham chapter for Pink Pistols. I'm mentally challenged. We all know that. And some of the exciting thing is that we were actually both Blazing Swords and Pink Pistols were reached out by the CCFR, which is great to hear. So they've got some events in the works. So, Greg, tell us what's happening with Pink Pistols in Toronto right now.
So just to clear up a little thing, I run the Greater Toronto Pink Pistols chapter right now, and that encompasses the GTA. So from Peel, York, Toronto, proper, and Durham.
Excellent.
I'm working on getting all of my paperwork filed for both York and Durham Region Pride events to do direct outreach within the queer community. You're asking me if that word was acceptable. I use it. It's my boss uses it. So.
Oh, good. Because some people might take it as derogatory, but after, you know, listening to Aaron Paulette talk on her show, I find it's a very all-encompassing title that covers everybody, and it's polite.
When I first got involved with any form of LGBT advocating, it was literally just LGBT. And it literally gets longer and longer every year to the point where I have to remember which acronym to use with which organization now. Because it's the one that the York region committee uses is different from the one that the Durham committee uses, which is you think arguing 1911 versus Glock gets complicated.
That's a good analogy. Because if you don't include somebody, they're offended, and if you include somebody but it's not in the right order, then they can get offended. But if you just say the queer community, it just shows everybody some love and everybody accepts it, which is great. So what's been happening with the Pride events?
So I've started filling out I filled out the paperwork for a booth at York. I'm trying to organize volunteers right now to help out with the table, as well as anyone who wants to march in the parades. So that's getting done. Ordered a nice big 12-foot wide banner too. So when I go to events, it'll be really easy to find me now. Because I will have a big banner with the big Pink Pistols logo and some very interesting queer art on the other side from that logo. So that'll be cool to see.
That'll be interesting to see.
Yep.
So how many events do you have planned so far?
Immediately right now, I have the 2, which is June 2nd at the Pick or Ajax near the Ajax Library, where for Durham Region Pride. I'll definitely have a booth out there, and if I have enough, if I know there's going to be enough people who want to walk in the parade under pink pistols, I will definitely make sure that we have a slot in the parade. The next one will be, that'll be on June the 2nd. The next one will be June the 15th. That will be York Region Pride. I'll be doing a booth there as well. And if I have enough people to get a spot in the parade, I'll definitely be, again, filling that all out.
Now, what type of response have you had in the community so far? Because I know when I volunteered to be an instructor for Operation Blazing Sword, I actually posted a couple of things in some of the gay sites in Toronto, and I was immediately banned and removed from the site. So the GTA is really anti-gun, and it's very, very hard to get the queer community involved because of, I guess, the politics and the fear of living in the city. So
I have... It is really, 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 it really is one reaction or another. I will either have, like, I was at a makerspace. I'm not going to mention it because I don't exactly have, their permission to mention them in this, but they are both relatively gun friendly and queer friendly, and they're an awesome site. But, one of the regular visitors is an individual who's has a fair amount of notoriety within Toronto, and I've met him on previous occasions at the same place. And he, let's just say when he saw the business cards, he was so excited that there was a Pink Pistols chapter for Toronto that he had to stop and spent like the next 20 minutes trying to get a really good photo to send all his friends.
Excellent.
Or, the one interaction I had that I mentioned with that one, when I mentioned that one news article the other day. Yeah, some people really don't like me. So you'll either get like really, really excited or don't like you or just complete neutrality.
It's funny because they're, once again, people are being judged from what they like, not from the individual. It's not just the queer community in general. I think it's a lot of different communities. As soon as you mention the word firearms, some people just change. They get severe nasty.
Oh, the knife guys, which half the knife guys I know, all the gun guys I know are knife guys. And half the knife guys I know are big gun guys.
Yeah, I've noticed that on one of the forums that I'm on.
And they get, at the sportsman show, someone had a knife and we were chatting, and then I pulled out my knife to share for show and tell. And then someone from the CSSA came by and was like, oh, show and tell. He pulls out his knife. We're all looking at it. We're all chatting. And then someone from the CCFR came by. Saw there was a show and tell session, and they came by. So, yeah, we a lot of the people into guns, they're into other tools anyway. So yeah.
Yeah, I actually had same thing happen. I was at the range on Saturday, and I spotted a gentleman's Benchmade Griptilian. I said, "Oh, that's a Benchmade Griptilian." He pulled out his Griptilian. I pulled out my Spartaco, and like all of a sudden, within 30 seconds, 5 people pulled out knives and started showing each other their knives. But if you did that in downtown Toronto, you might have a panic attack. It's just the absolute fear of anything.
Sometimes, yeah. Although I've literally volunteered as con security, we've gotten into like night conversations at the station while we're waiting for something to do. But by the same token, 20 yards away, there's someone who's like, why do you have a sharp knife? So, well, I'm security. I might have to cut a piece of material that's hurting someone.
It's a tool that I think everybody should have. There's always that incident where you don't have it and you reach to your pocket and you can damn.
That's the worst. That's like, and if someone's in danger and you've got to reach for your knife, your trusty knife, and it's not there, you do feel really bad. But you know. Do.
I've had to use it where I used to work on the track. I was crossing a set of tracks. The switch closed in my pant leg, and I was stuck on a track during service with the subways running. And I just had to reach. I didn't think about it. Just reached my pocket, reached down, cut the end of my pants off.
Yep.
So I destroyed a pair of pants, but I didn't get hit by a train. I attended an accident scene once because I was trained in emergency first aid, and the seatbelt was seized. And luckily, I had my pocket knife in my pocket, and I was able to cut the safety belt. Because a lot of times in collisions, they actually jam and you can't get it out. So it's always a good idea to have a sharp knife for my lunch.
I have a very good friend, and she says she likes to carry a knife in case there's cheesecake.
That's a good excuse too.
I mean, you buy a piece of cheesecake at a street vendor. They'll normally give you a fork, but do you want to be a barbarian when eating cheesecake?
I'm notorious for being at a restaurant and especially ordering. I'm not a big meat eater, but sometimes I do enjoy a nice steak. And I've never had a sharp knife in a restaurant ever. So I always ask for a cutting board, and I pull out my own knife and I cut up my own meat with my own knife.
Yeah. Yep, that's... Well, they're used, what, 7, 8, 12 times a day?
Or at least.
In a busy restaurant, you can probably get, what, 24 uses in a day, depending on how quickly the cutlery's washed and cycled.
And they end up shipping out to places to get it sharpened, but they never do. So we're digressing. We started going from guns to knives and how people react to different things. So I interrupted you, so I'm sorry. So let's continue. So you've got the event in York planned.
Yeah, the event in York will be York Region Pride. Pride at the Park. It's in Newmarket. It is an absolutely beautiful venue. If you've never been out to Newmarket, and if a listener is listening, they're in the northern side of the GTA. They've never been out to the Newmarket, to the fairgrounds where the Pride Festival takes place. It's a beautiful place. Last year I had an amazing time. I wasn't there working as Pink Pistols. I was there helping a friend do the AV gear. So,
what about the Toronto Parade? Have you had any access to that?
I've had some questions from helpers about doing Toronto. I am trying to find a pub or a restaurant or park that I can get a park use permit for and just do a picnic in the park. Just generally with the political scene right now, as much as I would like to do Toronto Pride, it's not exactly feasible from the logistics. I don't have the logistics to do Toronto Pride. And right now, with how heated the firearms debate is, I don't want to have to hire a lawyer to deal with the backlash that I have to deal with there.
Yeah, I think what you're doing is the correct path. Do the smaller venues, make yourself visible, known, and then attempt it once you have a little more acceptance in the community, I guess. But Toronto itself has just got that mentality right now, and it's unfortunate.
It's really, well, the individual who I mentioned getting really excited about the business card, he's got trans friends, black friends, friends of every stripe, color, and from every planet in the galaxy, I swear. Most open-minded person in the world. But there's a lot of people that don't want to get into firearms because they don't think it's right for them if they're queer. And it's like, why not? Most of my closest friends in the queer community either have shot firearms through being in the military or they're avid gun lovers of it. Gun lovers in general. So,
well, I think we've seen a lot more acceptance
Slowly.
From the community, as well as from non-queer gun owners, because the tragedy in Orlando a few years ago. So we see a really good camaraderie between the queer community and, I don't like using the word straight community, but the shooting community, because everybody shoots. So that's great to see. Excuse me.
And I will say, for anyone who hears this, if you're out in Manitoba, if you're in BC, odds are if you go to a range, you're not going to have a problem with being queer. And in my experience, since I really ramped things up last year, odds are if you are a new member or a visiting guest at a range and someone starts a problem with you over your sexuality, in my experience, the range might have more of a problem with the troublemaker and not you.
Exactly. So, I think nowadays people in general are a lot more respectful. See, I'm well known for mispronouncing words in the show. That's why I wouldn't touch the LGBT and I just say queer, because I can't even say the word lanyard without getting in the trouble. But I find nowadays acceptance from everybody across the board, especially in the shooting community, any range or facility tends to be very respectful of somebody else's rights. And if you get into somebody's face and you're harassing them, you'll be shut down pretty quick these days, which is good to see.
Yep. So as for, you mentioned actually getting to meet Tracy Wilson and...
Yes. So you met her at Sportsman Show.
Yes. It was a very interesting day. With my luck, I had a stress... I choose to wear a nice white shirt. Last year for Pride, I made a bunch of GTPP t-shirts, which is the initials of the chapter. And, of course, with the dryness on those trains, I get a nosebleed, like, as soon as I sit down, just from the dryness. So, like, all day I've got a messed up shirt, and it's like...
You're covered in blood, you go talk to Tracy.
Yeah. She was wonderful. Rod, Mr. Galtica. And what a lot of the entities don't realize is a lot of us have queer friends, queer relatives, queer work acquaintances. And in the most part, a lot of the shooting community that I know, they don't care. They don't care what you do in your bedroom. All they care is like, hey, you coming to the range Sunday?
Which is all it should be.
Yeah. So, actually, you mentioned when we first started chatting, and I was trying to find openly queer firearms instructors in Toronto, in the Toronto area. And while we didn't find one, you did get like 40 or 50 old bearded country boys trying to out tolerance each other.
That describes it pretty accurately. I posted it on this CCFR page, and I just wanted, I figured, you know, a new shooter who maybe be transgender might be a little more comfortable if they had an instructor that was maybe had a similar interest to them, right? And I just put it out on the page, you know, does anybody know, you know, openly gay or transgender firearm? And they got really mad because they said I should just recognize any firearm instructor. And kind of their point is kind of right. Like, you know, any firearm instructor should be sufficient for us and this and this and that. And it was like a whole boys thing and everything else. And a few people stepped up and backed me up on it. But, you know, I could understand the perspective because all of a sudden I'm putting instructors in little boxes too, but my whole precept was to get somebody that might make a new shooter more comfortable. That was the whole idea, and it sort of backfired on me. I got a lot of flack for it, but there are with Operation Blazing Swords going on in Toronto. There is one openly gay three-gun shooter in Hamilton. You can contact him through the Blazing Sword website. They have a map with all the different instructors. So if that's the route that you want to go, but you'll find anybody will be willing to teach you, will be very respectful. Okay. Like, you know, the community is like that. We accept everybody.
Oh, yeah.
As long as you're not anti-Semitic or racist, we'll accept you. It's hatred that we kind of despise, because as a community, the more diversity we have in the shooting community, the more we're going to grow.
Yeah, and if you want to segue into what got me into starting the chapter.
So what got you starting the chapter?
In 2012, I had some issues with people who, they were the stereotypical bigoted anti, like, I'm anti-gun and everyone around me has to be. And I went through a really bad period, because I was being criminally harassed by this person. When it finally died down and was all over, I ended up losing my father. Same time. It wasn't exactly related, but part of what aggravated his cancer was the stress of trying to protect me. And I think he passed away December. It was either the 12th or the 11th, but it was the day before Sandy Hook.
Oh no.
And about 2 weeks before, we were up at the cottage, and we were just having a chat. Like, I look back on it now, and I'm like, I'm wondering if he knew how bad his health really was. And we were just chatting. It's like that typical sit on the porch as the sun goes down with either like the expensive soda or rum and coke and just chat. And he'd mentioned how proud he was of the work I did with the local AIDS committee where I live. So when I was looking for something to do to keep myself busy, that was around August and August, September 2013, I looked into actually starting the chapter. My buddy Christian and Jeff helped me get all the stuff filed with, at that time, Gwen Patton. And part of the reason I did it was I've gotten so tired, in whatever community I've been in, of someone who is anti-gun to the point of being bigoted. And as you've heard Gwen say, there is a proverbial gun closet. You can be out about any other subject in a lot of communities, but oh my, if you collect firearms, I mean, even if it's just those pre-1920 bolt actions, you're a menace to society. And I started the chapter to reach out, change minds, and introduce people to something that I loved and did with my father, I enjoy doing with friends, and to share something that, well.
Now, have you had any success changing an auntie's mind?
It's kind of like leading a horse to water.
But once they drink.
You can lead a horse to water, but you can't force it to drink.
Yeah.
You can lead an anti-gunner to information, but they have to open their eyes. There are people I know who didn't really like guns, who now are, like, who weren't really big gun people. A friend of mine, my adopted brother, not like legally adopted, but they're that kind of friend. And he actually helped me with my he helps me with my spelling and grammar.
I need help there too.
As Mike Ackerman from the CCSA put it one time, oh, it's that, oh, you're the illiterate guy from Facebook. I have when I was 12, I had 147 IQ, and they actually made me retake the test because they thought the evaluator screwed up something, because they were surprised that I scored that high. And I matched the score the second time around, so
But it's, you know, it's funny that you mentioned people being in the gun closet, because I know actually a few people like that.
Yeah.
Especially people that just hunt. They don't. A couple of guys in my subdivision, older gentlemen, and they don't want people to know. They're afraid of what people will think because they own firearms.
Mm-hmm.
And it's those people that I try to encourage the most, because if they expose, you know, I'm trying to figure out how I can word this there, but they're so busy hiding their passion for their sport, they're losing out on it.
Yeah, and like I'm not that young, as young as I used to be. I'm getting to the point where I go to events and I'm starting to realize, oh great, I'm starting to get to the point where I'm one of the old dogs.
I know that feeling.
And in the with the LGBT community, there is a really changing demographic, but also in the shooting community, there's demographics are changing.
That's very true. I've noticed people are actually coming out of the closet more.
A few years back, there was I can't remember the name of the person, but it was someone that, like, the CNFA got along with. CSSA, everyone just got along with them, and they'd done a lot of advocacy over the years, and they passed away. And it's like, well, who's going to take up the slack? But as a firearms enthusiast, for whatever reason, I'm starting to see that and keep in mind, I've been doing this for 14. I've been involved in this for my entire adult life, even though the Pink Pistols chapter is only part of it. If I'm not completely active in trying to preserve it, well, what's going to happen if I have a kid, and by the time they're an adult, will they even be allowed to touch a BB gun? Like,
I think that's why it's so important that other people take up the torch and continue the fight, because a good analogy, there was I used to do a lot of police pistol combat shooting, and mm-hmm. there was one older gentleman who he contacted everybody. He got all the match information, everybody got emails, and you'd go to one of the local matches and 50 or 60 people would show up. Well, since he passed away, nothing's happened. I haven't got mm-hmm. any notifications. There's no big matches. So, you know, once you lose somebody that has that spark, that's spreading the news, a lot of times the sport or the discipline will disappear. And we need younger shooters coming in. And it doesn't matter, you know, what their lifestyle is. It doesn't matter. We need all that young blood. So we've got that right now with the shooting community. There's been a really big interest in shooting sports. I don't know how many – the interest in young people has just exploded. You can't – it's next to impossible to get into a black badge course in Ontario because of popularity.
Oh, it's impossible to get into a range, period.
Or any range at all. So
– I mean, I was looking at Ganyan's to hold events at, and their membership fees, I think it was like $850 for your initial sign up as a member.
Yeah, they have an initiation fee plus the membership fee, do they not?
Yeah, I think that was combined, the two of them. So I think it was like $600 something and change for your annual membership and then your initiation fee.
And that membership, it just only during store hours.
Because
you cannot get access the range through the store. Now that might have changed. I spoke to Natalie a year ago, but currently
I really hope they're changing that so they can extend their hours and separate it from the store. But when I was in there, I don't think I saw a way in except through the store.
No, that was the only entrance. When I was speaking to Natalie, she said if the range gets really really popular, then they'll extend and build a second. Yeah. Entrance to and from the store. It's a beautiful range, but the cost is really cost prohibited for a new shooter.
And the other, this is a thing that I worry about. Is there a lot of for me the advocacy I do? Like, I wish Hart House Range was still around. I help out with AV stuff at an event down there once a year. And if you're in Toronto, where do you go?
You don't go anywhere. There's one range, two ranges left in the city. I know there's one on Dawes and Danforth, and I think three clubs share it.
Yeah.
So you've only got a day or 2 days a week that your club can actually access the range. Yeah.
So
your only option is to drive if you want to get into Oshawa. If you can get into, well, you won't get in the Oshawa Trap and Ski. You might get in the Ganyans, or if funds are limited, might be able to get into Silverdale. So you trade off your range fees for the amount of travel time that's going to take you to get there.
So it's really like that's an issue that bothers me, especially just getting people out to try shooting. What do you do? Because like you said, there's one range, there's one facility, three clubs use it.
Yeah, in Toronto, you're not going to find anything. They've all closed down. I used to block. The Boys Club used to have a range at Pharmacy in St. Clair, and I shot at that range probably till I was 12 or 13 till it burnt down. And they couldn't wait to get rid of it. They let our group use it because they didn't want anything to do with it. And I can't think of any ranges now left in the city once in Harthouse. There was one out in Etobicoke. I think it shut down. I think there's only two left in the city of Toronto.
And when Harthouse shut down, at the time, it really seemed like U of T was given a little bit of a breather room before, was it Miller at the time? Shut down Union?
Yep.
And
He shut down any range that had a lease on city property, he shut down. So he shut down Union, and there was a really nice rifle range at the Mid-Scarborough Rec Center. He shut that down too.
And it's like, so now keep in mind, there is one range that can be remotely accessed by transit that I know of, and that's Ganyans. Good luck getting a membership right now. I'm pretty sure they now have a waiting list.
It might be, because when I spoke to United last year, they're at 60%. Now, another thing you could do, instead of getting a membership, they do have packages, and East Hill Outdoors has the same packages. So if you just want to introduce somebody to sports, you don't really get the firearm safety training. You basically get told where to point it, when to pull the trigger, when to put your, basically.
Yeah.
And that'll give somebody, I'm just looking at East Hill's ad. I think the minimum is $70, and that basically gives you an intro into the sport. Now, people think, well, $70, it's a lot of money for ammo. Well, if you think about it, you're using the range, which costs money. You're using an instructor, which costs money.
Yep.
You know, it's even though the price seems a little above what us as licensed shooters would want to pay for ammo, you know, you're having to pay for all the facilities for you to use their guns, their ammo, their range, their manpower. So in the end, I think it is very cost effective. So if you want to get a group of people, and it doesn't matter who it is, you can contact East Hill Outdoors, Ganyans, and they have packages where you can just take somebody there. You don't have to have a firearms license. You don't have to have anything. You just show up, make sure that you're clean and sober when you do, or you'll be asked to leave.
Yes, very much clean and sober, please.
And it's just a really brief safety briefing just to show you how to properly handle the gun. I mentioned it on the webpage. I did an event on Saturday. And it was a young lady's bachelorette party.
Oh, God.
And I've never seen so many young ladies have such a blast in my life. It was incredible. And the one girl, there's one package. It's one of the more expensive packages, but you get to fire a Desert Eagle 50 A&E, and you get to fire a BMG indoors, which is something I don't really want to experience again. Talk about body slam. Like, you think an AR with a comp's loud indoors? It's nothing compared to a BMG. Like, you have a concussion afterwards.
I remember the specs on the Macmillan TAC 50 at muzzle. The blast wave coming out of the barrel is the equivalent of a pound of trinitrotoluene.
So if you want to experience that explosion, you can do it, and you won't need a firearms license, but you'll never forget it.
There's a reason why I pretty much every bolt action 50 caliber military issued rifle, and even the Barretts now in a lot of military uses are being issued with a big, huge, it looks like a car muffler stuck on the end of the gun, because the concussive force coming off that is quite amazing.
Oh, it's incredible. But you know, if you just want experience shooting, you've got the basic packages, like Bull Range offers them. You know, 22, if you can try the 9mm and you don't like it, they'll give you the rest of the package in 22. So there's, you can go and not have to invest all the money and the training and the licensing and everything else. It's just like going out for dinner, yeah. and it's the same, it's going to cost the same as going out for a good dinner.
Yeah.
And you get an experience you'll never forget.
Yeah, I definitely recommend that if you've never fired a gun and you live in an area where you don't have any friends with their license, before you go out and try and get your PAL or RPAL and drop $330, $340 on a 2-day course.
Now, if you drive,
yep.
You can do East Hill. It's just 135, 115, just north of the 401. There is a GO bus station right at the highway, but I don't think there's any way that you can get up from the highway or from the GO bus up the extra couple of kilometers up to the store. The only one that really makes sense logistically would be Gagnon's, because you can just,
yeah,
it's right near the GO train station, and you can just take a public transit bus the rest of the way. Or if you yeah, organize a group event, you can bring a minivan and just shuttle people back and forth.
Oh, yeah.
Which we discussed. You and I were talking about that a few months ago.
Yeah. The thing about there is they are extremely busy.
Yeah, and it's something you'd have to book a week or a month in advance. You can't just show up. You do have to schedule it.
Yeah. In some sense, that's good for them, because they need. It's good to see they have traffic, but in the other sense, it's really indicative of the lack of ranges. And for someone like me who wants to get more people from a group that doesn't have a lot of firearms experience, the difficulty in finding a place to take them gets. I mean,
it's difficult. I'm not a particular fan of Gagnon's. I don't like shopping there. It's never a pleasant experience, but the range is fantastic. They've got a beautiful range, so it's worth experiencing.
But yeah, like with people from the GTA, I'm looking at them traveling at upwards of 3 hours both ways.
Well, the first one that was scheduled was East End. What's the name of the gun club that was originally
East
scheduled?
Eglin Sportsman's Association, and I'm getting better with media marketing and getting the word out. I just didn't have enough confirmed people attending to make it worth going through with.
The nice thing was when you approached each Eglin, I keep wanting to say Eglinton, each Elgin, they were very acceptive. They really wanted to help promote it.
And I don't know if he's still the president, but the president at the time, because memberships, presidents, boards, they can change, was... I got to be careful what I say, but he made it pretty much blatantly clear that while he isn't queer, anyone found being homophobic on his range will probably be asked to leave. Good. And quite strongly asked, because he doesn't put up with any of that shit. He in confidence explained his reasons at the time, and I don't know how public that story is, but definitely an awesome facility. And the guy that I was dealing with, I can't even remember his name. I should write these things down, but
hopefully you can get a little more interest for, because I hear it's a nice range. So if you get some more interest, and guys want to do like a day trip and make a day out of it, it'd be a great facility to check out.
It's definitely, like I said, I've been around the shooting community for like 14 years. It's definitely like top 4 or 5 ranges, period, in Ontario.
Excellent.
So
what's the plan right now? So we, You were contacted by the CCFR. So are there any future events planned that members of the community can attend?
Hopefully. My goal is to get the Pride Festivals done and out of my... because that's a big point of my outreach. Starting soon, because I'm going to be advertising things in there. Things during... knock on wood. At Pride, hopefully I'll have everything arranged. My goal is September. That gives plenty of time to make plans. Although, by some sense, I might be better to just call up friends, see who's got the weekend off, and just go. So, I don't know right now on that. But I don't have an exact date. But definitely sometime in September, I'm going to be trying to find a range to host a range day. Okay, even if it's a four-hour drive for me.
So at least now you're working on getting the exposure. And once you get the exposure and then the interest, it'll probably be a lot easier actually getting people to attend the events. Like, you know, you'll get...
Yep.
Most of the shooter community will come up, but it's the queer community that we want to attend. Because, you know, I'll probably come and you know, my Thomas will probably come. But, you know...
Yep. I'll probably have my buddy Bubba, who's... friend of the person I do the AV work with, he's a big gun nut. And when I say that, I mean he's a nut for big guns.
Oh, so he likes the big calibers.
Oh, yeah. But a little more, a little bit closer to the second about what I'm going to be doing. Definitely check the Greater Toronto Pink Pistols Twitter page. It's at Pink Pistols TO if anyone wants more information.
Do you have a Facebook page group?
I've got to talk to some of my helpers and see if I can find two of them to help me manage that.
Okay, so right now your contact is just through Twitter. Do you have an email address that people can contact you at?
Yep. I'm just going to look it up, but... You can email me at, there it is, greatertorontopinkpistols@gmail.com, all one word, no caps. I try and respond within a couple hours. It depends on how much time it takes to answer your question or...
It's like somebody asked me for my phone number. I sort of panic because I never call myself. So I said, hang on for a second. Oh, yeah. I do have it memorized now, but for like the first year, I had to stop. So, yeah, hang on. I got to look it up.
I've had the same phone number for 4 years. Yeah, 4 years. And I finally just memorized it.
Yeah, that sounds just a lot like me.
So...
I have no idea what my wife's phone number is. No idea. It's in the phone. I can look it up and call her. But I don't. I'm one of these people. I don't remember anybody's phone number.
Yeah.
Nobody's. So, I'm bad enough with names. Never mind numbers.
But yeah. Like I said, if any of your listeners are in York or in the north part of the GTA, come on out to York Region Pride. The York Pride Festival. I'll be somewhere on the grounds with a booth. I don't know where I'll be, but it's a wonderful day. I had a blast last year, and I'm going to be working it this year.
And the festival is open to everybody. It's not just a queer community. Anybody could come, you know, bring your friends, just hang out with a bunch of nice people, have some fun in the sun.
Really, there's a right next to the main stage is a splash pad. So, like, the kids can play in the water while they listen to live performances. They have musicians, drag performers, all kinds of crazy stuff. Last year they had fire dancers. And if you've never seen, like, someone doing fire dancing live, that is amazing to see.
And it's funny, I'm not, because I work for the Transit Commission, so I'm downtown a lot during the weeks preceding up to the Pride event. And it's mostly tourists that come for the parades. It's not a lot of local people. They'll come out, you know, maybe the day of, but yeah. It's amazing how many thousands of people come in. And the tourists are always great to deal with. Locals can be a little crazy, but the tourists are great. They're friendly, they're polite, they just want to have fun.
That in itself is part of the reason I'm not ready to do Toronto Pride. It's like logistics of getting downtown during a major tourist weekend. I've done it before for just events that I was going to, and it's like, do I want to drive downtown during a tourist, like a big tourist weekend, have to find parking, get gouged by parking, walk 3 blocks with all my stuff.
Well, that's your only option is to do that or drive to a subway station and then get stuck having to track all that stuff by public transit all the way through. Then you're fighting all the crowds because I was I was working one Sunday and I tried to cross Yonge Street at Wellesley because I was working at Wellesley subway station. You can't get across the street. You can't make it to the variety store to buy cigarettes because where I was there was a liquor store there.
Oh yeah,
and the lineup. Just to get in the liquor store, it was halfway around the block. So that's just a liquor store. So you can imagine what the rest of the event was. It was nuts. It was absolutely nuts. So after that, they didn't make us work downtown when the Pride was going on because just too many people. Just logistically, it was crazy.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Definitely sometime this summer, I will be doing an event like downtown Toronto proper for people to come out to. I try and sticky important event info right on the Twitter page. Hopefully I'll have the Facebook group being used within the next week. It exists. It's just hidden in private. I made sure to go and like bookmark the name I wanted so that no one else could take it from me.
It's a good idea. So if you have an event, let me know and we'll just share it on our Facebook page because we've got a bit of a following.
Definitely. And like I said, the email is greatertorontopinkpistols@gmail.com, Twitter page @pinkpistolsTO. Any questions? If you're an instructor and you want to help out, definitely look into Operation Blazing Sword. If you're a range, if you run a range and you want to be listed. It's kind of like OBS is kind of like the old block parent thing. Remember that?
Yeah.
So for those, I hope everyone knows, but for anyone who's new, Operation Blazing Swords is basically range professionals, instructors, and so on who have made a public declaration there. Friendly and they'll train you and all of that. Aaron Pellet, who started it, has done a fantastic job of that, and I'm quite impressed to see how much she's done.
And the whole premise originally for Operation Blazing Sword was the queer community, and after there was a tragic shooting in a synagogue, so now she's opened it up to everybody. So if you're in the Jewish community, anybody that feels, I can't say how somebody feels, but anybody that feels like the community has been threatened and they want to learn to defend themselves, you can contact any Operation Blazing Sword. And they will be more than happy to help.
Now, by the same token, that's not to say that any instructor who isn't on Operation Blazing Sword won't be happy to have you in your course. As long as you follow the rules of the course and don't point any even DWAT firearms at them, and you'd be amazed at how scary a DWAT firearm with no ammunition on the property. You'd be amazed at how scary that will be when you look over at the person at the station next to you and they've got a revolver pointed at you.
Yeah, that would, because you don't know it's not real. So yeah.
Well, you know it's not real, but still, it's a scary sight to look over at.
Well, anything pointed at you is scary to look over at.
Yeah. Definitely, though, firearm sports are so...
Well,
the statistical likelihood of getting injured at a range, you're statistically much more likely to win the lottery.
That depends. I was at a range once, and it had this really stupid rule where the safe area was behind the firing line. And I complained about it, and another member complained about it, and we brought it up to the director's meeting. And the range said, well, we've never had a problem in the past. There's no reason to change the rules. And then 2 weeks later, I just about got shot in the head because somebody decided to discharge a firearm from the safe area. So it can happen.
Yeah, it can happen. That person was clearly ignoring axe proof, all that stuff. And
This was a safety officer and the president and the secretary of the range. And then he blamed me for distracting him. He was taking his firearm off the firing line, and he blamed me for distracting him while he was doing it. Well, buddy, you should have opened the chamber and made sure it was clear before you brought it in the safe area anyway. So it doesn't happen very often. It's a rarity, but all it takes is a little brain fart, which is why firearm safety is so important. Because no matter what it is, you treat it like it's loaded, keep the muzzle pointed in a safe direction, and you'll be fine.
Yep. But I'm looking forward to seeing to getting a range day and seeing a bunch of people come out and having a really good time. Definitely next when I do a range day, I'm gonna need to find a nice barbecue place near the range so that people can go and sit down and eat, because when you're having lots of fun, you forget how hungry you get.
This is true. That's why usually when you do a match, if you're doing any IPSC match, it usually includes lunch.
Oh, yeah.
And the most common thing is pulled pork. So if you go to any IPSC match, a lot of them do include a lunch. So
I'm talking about food. I'm getting hungry.
Okay. So with that, anything you want to add before we wrap it up, Greg?
Thank you for having me. Sorry if this has been a little bit disjointed and rambly, but it's been good to chat with you, and it's good to reach out to your audience.
Well, I'm glad that we had you on the show. I'm also really, really glad that we've got a Pink Pistol chapter up here, and that we've got Aaron in charge of Operation Blazing Sword. So shooting sports is approachable or available to everybody. So as I said, if you're a part of the queer community and you want to learn how to shoot, you can contact Operation Blazing Sword. It has my contact information in there if you want some range time. If you are part of the queer community and you want to promote shooting sports, contact Greg at Pink Pistol. Get out there, get active, and show the community how gun-friendly everybody is.
Yep.
It doesn't matter, you know, what you are or what you believe. If you want to learn how to shoot, we'll teach you.
And I'm definitely available if anyone across Canada, or even if some American viewers hear this and need help getting a chapter going, and I'm available. I'm always, my email's, like I said, my email will probably be in the show notes. Send me a message and I'll help you figure out how to get a chapter started in your area if there isn't one, or find one if there is.
And if you're interested, we can probably get you contact links for firearm safety instructors. If you want to take the RPAL course, we can help you try to find a range. So any help whatsoever, just give us a call. We'd be more glad to help you.
Yeah.
Okay, Greg. So until next time, maybe we'll go up to the range and do some shooting in a couple weeks.
Definitely.
Since I belong to a range and you don't right now.
Yeah, I'm working on that. I was filling out paperwork. All day.
You got to actually, before I let you go, you got to come over and check out the range at East Hill Outdoors with me. It is fantastic.
I'm definitely tempted.
It's really, really. It's got
you're twisting my arm quite effectively.
It's got a beautiful store in there. And I know you've just got your license, so you're back. So you're looking for new guns.
I'm getting it soon. That's the paperwork I was doing.
And they've got a fantastic used firearm selection in there, too. So you can get some really smoking deals, too.
Wonderful. But yeah.
Yeah, I spent my lunch break in there just oogling the old Marlins, and oh, he's got some nice stuff. Anyway, Greg, thanks for coming on the show. And we'll see you at the range.
Take care, everyone. Stay safe.
Okay, events. What's the first event coming up, Benny?
Rent number one, Charity Shoot, the 9th annual Canadian Firearms Podcast Charity Shoot hosted by the CCFR. This year's shoot is in Alberta on July 6, 2019. Start time is 9 a.m. This year's charity is the Big Country Anti-Violence Association, a committee to educate, to advocate for, and to promote the reduction of violence in our community. A link will be in the show notes. On a side note on that, BennyLewis.ca, any orders placed between, basically now and the charity shoot, a portion of your order, the proceeds of your order will be going towards the Big Country Anti-Violence Association.
Excellent. Excellent.
What's your website again?
Now, things are
BennyLewis.ca.
Okay. I'll make sure to put that into the show notes as well.
Great. And just a little update. Things are running a little bit behind schedule this year on the charity shoot because I was spoken to Jason Phillip. And what had happened is that Rod asked to do it, Rod Natalka. Well, he forgot. So normally things would have started in January. They didn't get started to April. So he forgot about it. So Jason's now setting everything up. There is a Facebook page, so if you're interested in sponsoring or attending the charity shoot, I put a link to the event in there. They're actively looking for sponsors, so if you can give them a hand or if you want to attend, go to the links in the show note. Event number two is a Milverton Rod and Gun Club Cui Collectors Association celebrating 100 years from 1919 to 2009. Cui Day will be July 6th. The club is located at 4660 Line 61, Perth East, Milverton, Ontario. The doors open at 10, closes at 4. It says vendors are $8. I'm not sure what the actual, I think it says an $8 cost for the vendors. I don't think there's a charge to get in. There'll be shooting events, raffle prizes, displays, and sale tables, barbecue refreshment, flea market with hunting and firearms related items. Apparently camping is available too, if required. Vendors, you have to provide your own tables and chairs. If you're interested in attending, if you have some cuis or stuff that you want to set up, you can contact them at 519-801-5564. Admission actually is a non-perishable food item, which will be donated to local charity, and I put a link to it in the show notes. Emails. No emails?
None.
Damn. We haven't had any mails for a while now. Maybe nobody's listening. So please send any feedback, questions, or comments you may have to hosts@newshootercanada.ca, our Facebook page, or in our comments section on our website at newshootercanada.ca. And if you message us on the Facebook page, we'll get back to you right away because I usually monitor that. Closing comments. Anybody?
Product safety alert.
Yeah. I was at East Hill, and we had a memo from Smith & Wesson. The M&P 1522, manufactured before February 1st, 2019, is having head spacing issues. Contact Smith & Wesson. I put a link in the page, in the show notes. They will send you a shim kit, so you can measure your gap. Because apparently, some of those guns are going full auto.
Ooh.
I guess they're slam firing. So we were quite disappointed. We checked every single one that we had in the store, and not one of them was full auto. It would have been
nice. You almost had yourself a Vegas style attraction.
Yeah, it would have been cool, but no, unfortunately. So if you do have one and you're having issues with it, and it's running full auto, this is not a good thing. So contact the Smith & Wesson. They have a great customer service department, by the way. If you ever have an issue with Smith & Wesson and you have to deal with their customer services, they're fantastic. I've never had an issue with them. I've had great service from them in the past. That's about it. Shoutouts. Benny?
As usual, my wife, MD, for putting up with me, letting me love guns and take that in as a hobby and allowing me to do the podcast today. On Family Day. Whatever today is.
Victoria Day.
May 20th.
I'll give you a pass because you weren't born here. It's a day where we celebrate a queen that's kind of not really ours anymore. And I'm going to get hit from Sarah for saying that.
Whose actual birthday is May 24th, and it rotates because they want it to fall on the Monday. So I'm one of these people, like every 7 or 8 years, my birthday falls in Victoria Day. So this is cool.
Yeah.
It's nice having your birthday celebrated with fireworks every so often.
Yeah.
Shout outs, of course, Buck Knives. Thank you very much. I appreciate the customer service. Listener Aaron Josh. Thanks for listening, guys. I hear from Josh quite often, and I hear from Aaron, so it's nice hearing from the listeners. We're very approachable. If you want to message any of us personally on Facebook, by all means, message me. I'll be glad to talk to you. Michael?
I'll say shout out to Benny for finding out what my Instagram handle is. If anyone wants to know, it's at Mike Hissen. So, thank you.
Very inventive.
If you want to see, yeah, I know, I'm real creative like that. But if you want to see some video of me shooting open revolver, and hopefully soon I'll get some more videos up there. And like Benny, I'll also thank Sarah for putting up with me, because it seems like every weekend I'm either shooting a match or running a match or pretty much getting ready to do another match. So there's a lot of time get taken up by it, and I appreciate her patience with me.
It's nice having a wife that supports your interests.
Yeah, it is.
I forgot one shout out. Shout out to my mom. Mom gave me some ammo money for my birthday.
Oh, mom's the best.
Oh yeah, she's been my biggest. Actually, it was funny. She messaged me last week and she says, "I want to go shooting on your birthday." Said, really, mom? So I did. I took her shooting yesterday, and I actually got her to finally shoot some pistols for a change.
Nice.
She usually just likes my 10/22, but we did some pistols this time. And luckily, nobody was shooting a 50 BMG or an AR indoors, because that would have just wouldn't have been good for mom. No. So it was a nice quiet day at the range.
That's good.
Okay. I guess until next week, keep your barrels down range and smoking.
Time spent at the range, time spent with family.
It's not about the odds, it's about the stakes.
Thanks for listening, everybody. So it's such a short episode this week, but we promise we're going to get back together soon with the whole crew and have a nice long episode and bore the heck out of you. Have a good night, everybody.
Good night.
Thanks for listening. We'd love to hear from you with any questions or feedback you may have, or if you just want to call shenanigans. You can contact us at host@newshootercanada.ca or through our Facebook page. The way they look, I like the shiny steel and the polished wood. I don't care if they're big or small, they're for sale, hell, I want them all. I like guns, I like guns, I like guns.